One of the most amazing things I've seen during this time is how people can watch the same news stories, hear the same information, and react very differently. I mean, some people's first response to what is going on is, let's go buy all the hand sanitizer that we can possibly buy. Next, toilet paper, and so on, and just, right? It's, what is the next thing that people are going to buy and just grab? And that's how people reacted. Some people reacted by saying, really, is this really a big deal? And people went on spring break and did other things in the midst of it. And same event, same information, same news conference, but there's some totally different reactions that have taken place out of this. And you've probably noticed that in your own home, in your own family, your spouse. Some of you have just reacted differently to this information than others. Some of you, you have kids who've responded differently than other kids, right? Isn't it amazing? We can see the same thing, hear the same information, and come up with some very different results and react very differently. That's what I want us to look at today as we're in part two of a series called I'm Scared. Last week, if you remember, was all about that. I think one of the reasons this is such a difficult situation is there are three big fears combined into one. So in other words, we have the fear of dying. Remember the fear of the unknown? That these fears, which are big, huge fears that we deal with, that these fears are all combined into one. And so we're dealing with these things all at once. The fear of being alone, the fear of the unknown, the fear of dying, those three things have converged into one event. And that's made it so hard and so difficult to deal with. And so this week I want to pivot into, what do you see? What do you see when you're hearing information? How are you reacting? How are you responding to what is happening all around us right now? And to look at that, I want to go to a very familiar story. If you're familiar at all with scripture, if you're familiar at all with Bible stories, if you grew up in church, this was probably on the flannel graph if you're as old as I am. And this story was just one that was told constantly. In fact, parents, at the end this morning, in the link in the description, I've included an animated video that you can watch with your kids that I'm certain they're going to think is a lot better than listening to me, so that you can connect the story with them and you can talk about it as a family. But it's the story of the 12 spies. And so Moses has led the people out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. The horse and the rider were thrown into the sea. They have moved their way to Mount Sinai. They have received the covenants. A lot of incredible things have happened. And they begin moving towards the promised land, the place that God promised, beginning all the way back to Abram. I'm going to bless you, Abram, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And so they're on the verge of looking into the promised land and seeing all that God has for them. And God asked Moses to do something, and that is to take 12 men, one from each tribe, and to send them out into the land. Now, I want to read through this, and I'm reading from the NET Bible. This is the New English Translation, because I love some of the places that it emphasizes and the things that it talks about when it comes to this story, because this is an amazing story. And I'm just going to stop, and we're going to work our way through this, and then I want to come to some conclusions this morning and ask you how you're doing in the midst of this. So listen to this. This is Numbers chapter 13, beginning verse number 17. When Moses sent them to investigate the land of Canaan, he told them, go up through the Negev, go up into the hill country, and see what the land is like, whether the people are strong or weak, few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or fortified cities, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether or not there are forests in it. And be brave. I think this is huge right here. This is where we almost run over something in the original language. But in Hebrew, it says, be brave. Strengthen yourself. In other words, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be difficult. You're going to see a lot of things. You need to be brave. You need to already have dealt with fear and be prepared for what you are going to see. So be brave and bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now it was the time of the year for the first ripe grapes. Somewhere they think in the time of July is when this happened and this took place, that Moses sent out these 12 spies. And so now we get a little commentary on their activity. So they went up and they investigated the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob at Lebo Hamath. And they went up through the Negev. They came to Hebron, where Ammon, Sheshi, Tamal, descendants of Anak, were living. Now, Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. It's all just given as commentary. And when they came to the Valley of Eshcol, they cut down there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a staff between two men. Those are some big grapes, okay? This is an incredible land, okay? They also, as well as some of the pomegranates and some of the figs, that place was called the Eshcol Valley because of the cluster of grapes that the Israelites cut from there. They returned from investigating the land after 40 days. So they've done their job. 40 days they've gone out, these 12 individuals, and they've looked and they saw. But remember what Moses said before you leave, not just investigate, be brave. I think there's a key to this, and you're going to hear this. So begin in verse number 26. Now it is time for them to report. And so they came back to Moses and Aaron and to the whole community of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They reported to the whole community and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told Moses, "We went to the land where you sent us. It is indeed flowing with milk and honey." You ever heard that sentence and go, what does that mean? Okay, it just meant the land was rich and it was incredible. It was just their way of saying that because there were two substances that they just considered incredibly valuable. Milk was incredibly valuable, honey was, and it just meant the land is rich. The land is wealthy. It's incredible. Okay, and this is its fruit. They're showing them this incredible cluster of grapes that they have. But, now, that word is just not strong enough. Okay, it's almost like they just stopped. They were saying all the good things about the land, and then, yeah, the rest of this is not going to be good. They make this incredible change where they're sharing all this good news. And now it's over. It's all bad after this. But the inhabitants are strong. And the cities are fortified and they're large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Okay, the Amalekites live in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, they live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. There's just a lot of people. Their cities are huge. We don't have a chance. And that's where they are. They started off so well. But something happened in that 40 days of what they saw and what they experienced to what they now were going to talk about. So Caleb jumps in, okay? Because we've got 10. What we find out is there's 10 here who are just full of fear. And there's two guys willing to say, no, wait a minute. The first one who speaks is Caleb. And says, then Caleb silenced the people. He just silenced them before Moses. And he says, and I love this, let's go up and occupy it, for we are well able to conquer it. We can do this, he's saying. What are you doing in this bad report? We can do this. And he continues, but the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against these people. They're stronger than we are. They're bigger than we are. We can't do it. Then they presented the Israelites with a discouraging report. Some of your translations will say evil. Can I just tell you what this is? This is a report. And again, it's hard to find a word for it. This is a report that defamed the grace of God. That's literally what it means in Hebrew. A report that defamed the grace of God. In other words, they weren't complaining about Moses. They weren't complaining about what they saw. This was an act against God himself. and they passed this and they discouraged everybody. Literally, they melted people's hearts. They investigated, said, the land that we passed through to investigate, and he continues, is a land that devours its inhabitants. Verse 32, it devours its inhabitants. We don't have a chance. Okay? All the people there, we saw there, were of great stature. We even saw the Nephilim there. The sons of Anak came from the Nephilim. The Nephilim, the Genesis, if you ever read those first few verses of Genesis 6, read those and go, what is it talking about? It used the word the Nephilim. Okay? Now they're seeing people that were wiped out in the flood. Okay? He's just, this is where they are. And we seemed like grasshoppers, both to ourselves and to them. We don't have a chance. That's what they're saying. We don't have a chance against these people. What are we doing here? What has God done to lead us here? So you can imagine this just overwhelming. And so then start in the next chapter, because now there's consequences from this report, right, that defames the grace of God. Then all the community, they just raised this loud cry. And the people wept that night. And all the Israelites murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, and here it comes, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had perished in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us into this land only to be killed by the sword, that our wives and our children should become plunder? Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Wow, this thing went bad. This thing went really bad. Like, we just go back to Egypt. Moses, it's your fault. Aaron, this is your fault. They defamed the name of God. I mean, they just, and you're like, what happened to these individuals? So there's going to be one more chance here, right? One more chance to get the truth out. Then Moses and Aaron, they fell down with their faces to the ground before the whole assembled community of the Israelites. And here's our two guys, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Two of those who had investigated the land, they tore their garments. This is just a sign of utter just disbelief and repentance. And what are you doing? Okay. They said to the whole congregation of the Israelites, the land we passed through to investigate is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. And now they use this term, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And then they give him this charge, don't rebel against the Lord. And do not, and here's our word, fear the people of the land. And I like this statement, for they are bread to us. They're bread. What do you mean we're grasshoppers? No. God has put them into our hand. What are we afraid about? What are we struggling with? Do not fear the people. They're bread to us. Their protection has turned aside from them, but the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And really, this whole idea of their protection, in other words, they don't have God on their side. They have some idols, they have some statues they follow, but they don't have the Lord. They have nothing. They have no protection. Nothing goes with them because we have the one true God on our side. However, and this is where it goes really bad, however, the whole community threatened to stone them. They were just so frustrated, they didn't know how to stop this. We're just going to pick up stones and throw them at Joshua and throw them at Caleb and kill them and continue on. But the glory of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tent of the meeting. And that's where I'm going to stop reading. Why? Because God steps in and says, you defame my name. These two guys have it right. They see very differently than you do. They responded very differently than you do. And you know what I got to ask? I got to ask, did these 10 guys forget to be brave? Did they forget to strengthen themselves? Because what they were going to see was going to be incredible, but it was going to be really, really scary. Did they just forget? Did Caleb and Joshua somehow figure out how to strengthen themselves? Did they see things that differently? And that's why it's an incredible story, right? It's an incredible section of scripture, because we watch as 12 guys go in, 10 see one thing, 2 see a totally other, and the people go with the 10, and they are full of fear. And it seems like what happened is these 10 guys going around, right, seeing everything and looking and going, oh my goodness, we're just like grasshoppers. Fear just built up within them. And the only thing they had to offer when they got back, other than a few words, hey, God's right, this is a great land, we don't have a chance. And they transferred their fear onto the people. And they caused them all to be fearful. And Joshua and Caleb tried, but so much so that they were like, we just need to shut these guys up. Isn't it amazing? It's like, wow, that's incredible what happened. And so I was thinking about this. I'm thinking, how do I help us connect this to where we are and to what's going on right now in our world and in our lives? And so I just got 5 statements I want to read. Some of them are in the form of a question. And you'll see questions come out today. They'll also be at the end of the video, just to give you an idea how to think through this and process this for yourself. The first one is this, that an unguarded heart allows fear to come in and rule our lives. Remember, Moses tells them, be brave, strengthen yourself, guard your hearts. And 2 guys listened and tuned in, and fear had so overwhelmed them, they were even defaming God's goodness. What if you allowed to come into your heart? Isn't it amazing how fear creeps in? It just creeps in. And as I've said before, these times only reveal our hearts. They don't put stuff in there, they just reveal them. And when they went in that land, those 10 guys had their heart revealed. They were scared. And 2 guys showed, no, I think God is bigger than all of this. And I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose that God is who he says he is, and that he will do everything he says that he will do. Number 2, have any of your conclusions about the virus and its outcome defamed the grace of God? Have any of your conclusions done what their report did, defamed the grace of God? Let me just help you here. This is not God punishing America. The entire world has it. This is not God punishing the world. We have to stop with some of these things that I don't know where we get some of these ideas. That this is punishment. This is God giving it to us. If we're not careful, we will defame the grace of God during this time because of our conclusion of what it means. That we're going to start saying things about God that aren't true. Read the story of Jonah again. Jonah, who goes to Nineveh, and what does he say at the end? I knew you were going to let them go. I knew you weren't going to punish them. I knew you were going to be graceful. And Jonah's just, you know, he doesn't like who God is. You're too much full of grace. And sometimes we're not very full of grace, are we? We would like judgment and destruction. And we forget in doing so, we might be defaming the grace of God. So have any of your conclusions about the virus or its outcome done that? The next one I'm going to ask you is this. What is winning in your life? What is winning? Fear? Is fear winning? Or is faith winning? This idea, and I've told you this before, that faith is simply that God is who he says he is and that he will do everything he says he will do. Or fear. Fear just says, no, God isn't who he is. I don't know what to do during this time. What is winning right now in your life? I think we can all be honest. We've all had moments during these last couple weeks where fear has won. Fear might have won the hour. It might have won the day. Maybe it won the week. Maybe it's still winning in your life. Stop letting it win. Because it leads to nothing. Leads to what? Worry, anxiety, can't sleep. What else? There's lots of things it leads to. There's unprecedented things going on. And I'm not making light of any of those. But I'm saying you do not have to let fear rule your life. For some reason, these 10 fear won. And what it won was their hearts, their lives, and it changed the course of an entire generation. What if we would let faith win? What would that be like in our households? What would that be like in our communities? What would that be like in our social media posts? If we let faith win, because faith wins because God wins. God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says that he will do. Number four, the Lord is good. Do you understand Caleb and Joshua walking around for 40 days? We're like, wow, the Lord is good. Not because I get everything I want. He is always working things out for my good when they aren't good. I think this is seeing some big pictures. I've told you, I think this is a great time to reevaluate some things. I think God gave some of us a much needed Sabbath because we keep breaking it and going crazy and working all these hours and doing all these things and running around like crazy people. I think God just gave us a Sabbath. And are you enjoying that? Are you reevaluating what's going on in your life? Because the Lord is good and he is working things out for good. He has just promised to do that in our lives. And perhaps it's time we just start recognizing that the Lord is good. Not everything that happens is good. And God doesn't declare everything is good. Okay? Sin is not good. Fear is not good. So why don't we try just recognizing that today? The Lord is good and he is doing good and working good in our lives. And the last one is this question. Who do you need to stop listening to? Maybe it's that news channel you're watching way too much. You need to turn it off. Hey, click. Your spouse has already told you this. You don't need me to tell you this. You know what it is. You need to turn it off. You need to change radio stations. You need to stop going on social media because it's gone beyond information and fear is winning the day in your life. So who do you need to start listening to? Maybe it's simple enough, just opening this up and start listening to your Heavenly Father and what he says about your life and what he says you are and what he wants to do in and through you. What you feed makes all the difference in what grows and what shrinks. If fear is growing, stop feeding it and start feeding faith. And watch that fear shrink and watch your relationship with God take a whole nother level because of what he is doing in your life. So I want to pray with you this morning. I want you just to consider, what do you see? Because again, I think these are moments where God wants to do some amazing things and incredible things if we would just choose faith over fear. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us today to make that choice? Would you, Holy Spirit, help us to know where fear is winning in our lives? What things we need to stop watching? What things we need to stop reading? Where we need to start doing something brand new. Would you help us to do that? Would you remind us that you are good and that we should never do anything to defame, Heavenly Father, your grace and your working? So help us today. Help us to make new choices that fear would lose, that faith would win, and that we would feed it, and we would just be amazed by what you will continue to do in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us next week, part 3. And I'm really praying that soon and very soon this is over, we can all gather together again. Have a great day. God bless.